Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Hey, everyone. A little airport edition of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo here at the Seattle-Tacoma Airport following the Bills' 31-10 win against the Seahawks. Probably not going to have a ton of volume in the voice this late evening. We are here recording this at about 10 o'clock on Sunday evening, Seattle time, so 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast, getting ready for a red eye so I can get back to Buffalo and we can get back and get ready for another week of NFL football. A dominant win for the Bills, really. I think that this is what you wanted to see, right? I think anybody would have probably just signed up for a win on the road against a decent Seahawks team. Tough place to play. Weather was a little bit shaky. But I think for the Bills, like, this is kind of what the doctor ordered, right? You wanted to see them start games fast. That's what they did in this game. Defensively, they win the toss. They defer. They force the Seahawks to go three and out. The Seahawks punt the ball. Pin the Bills deep in their zone at the 10. Bills go 90 yards, couple different penalties on the drive, and it didn't matter. They went all the way down the field. They scored, and I think that really set the tone for this game. I mean, think about it. The Bills were not trailing in this game at any point. They took a lead 7-0, and then they never looked back. Now, there were times when the Seahawks gift-wrapped them points, and that definitely could have changed the game. I think about the point where they had the snap go way over Geno Smith's head, and then that turned into a field goal instead of a touchdown? I think about the 4th and 2, 4th and goal conversion that the Seahawks went for, and then he tripped on the offensive line, and then they end up getting nothing on that drive. So, like, yeah, the Seahawks shot themselves in the foot, but the Bills won this game. They dominated this game. I thought that, really, on both sides of the ball, they were impressive. There's a lot of different standouts in the game in particular. Start with the quarterback, Josh Allen, I thought had a really good game. I'm getting some heat on Twitter, X, whatever it's called, because I said that he didn't have a stellar day. I probably could have used better wording there, but like I thought Josh Allen was really good. He's one of the best players in the NFL. This is what he does all the time. The interception happens, like it's a bad throw, but at the same time, like I'm not even like that. You have the luxury of hindsight here. It's raining really hard. He throws the ball a little off target, and it looked like Amari Cooper slipped a little bit. So I think it was, no pun intended, kind of the perfect storm for the first interception of the season. In a way, this is ridiculous. I know that. In a way, I wonder if he's a bit relieved that it's not something he has to keep talking about, right? Like, he's still having an exceptional season, but now he doesn't always have to have the conversation of like, oh, no interceptions, no, you know, turnovers, all this stuff. Like, he didn't have to do any of that stuff. The reason I thought it was a really good day and not like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest day from a quarterback ever, you know, he had the interception. He also had the fumble that the Bills got lucky to recover. There was also another fumble that hit the deck. Now, the play was wiped. The Bills recovered that one also. And then the play was wiped out by, like, illegal contact on the defense, so it didn't matter. So just, like, a little too, I don't even say risky because it wasn't. It was just like, you know, the ball hit the deck twice. You throw an interception. Other than that, though, a couple throws that he made that were just ridiculous. He does things that very few other people can do. It's why I've always said on this podcast, it's why I've always said on TV, wherever I'm talking about the Bills, they got a chance every time he is under center, no matter the opponents, no matter the stage, because I truly do think that he is the second best player in the NFL, and there are a lot of days when he's closer to the first best than he is to the third best, and there's some really impressive players in this league. So you start with Josh Allen, of course, at the top. Then I think you can work your way down to the receivers. Khalil Shakir had the best day from a stat standpoint. Goes over 100 yards, 9 catches, really, really efficient, had some big catches that were mixed in there. I think he does not get nearly enough credit around the league as just one of those slept-on guys. He is so steady. I mean, one of the people that covers the team asked Sean McDermott after the game today if he was like a better version of Cole Beasley. And I think Sean took it as like a slight on Cole Beasley. And the reasoning was like, well, because he can kind of find that space. He can go in the slot, but he can also break off some plays. I just think he is just like a super reliable target that Josh Allen trusts. There are a lot of times when that's the guy he's looking for when they need something to happen. Underneath, let a play develop. Khalil's going to make the catch. Khalil's going to get open. So he has just been rock solid, and I think he had a great game on Sunday against the Seahawks. Then I want to talk about Keon Coleman, because Keon Coleman is becoming a dude. Like, the guy is just continuing to make plays. The contested catches are becoming a thing. He is making them. There were two minor knocks on Keon Coleman today. Very minor knocks, but the good far outweighs the bad. Obviously, the touchdown is impressive, and it's like, okay, that's a really good sign. He had another one on that opening drive, a big catch that let the Bills march down the field. He had one down the seam on a third down later in the game. I think it was in the third quarter. That was just a really nice throw, but also just a, hey, throw it up and let Keon high point the ball. He'll bring it down. So just a really lot of things to see, or a lot of things to like out of Keon Coleman's game. The two things that we're going to say, the one, the penalty, the unnecessary roughness penalty for holding his block out of bounds. Not going to crucify him for that. I just feel like football play, you're kind of always taught when you play football, like, hold your block until you hear the whistle. I know that they're out of bounds, but it's a football thing that these guys continue to block each other until something happens. And I think the guy he was blocking hit something on the ground. That's why he fell into the bench. I'm not saying Keon should have done that. I'm just saying, you know, I think that's kind of why it looked the way it did, at least from my vantage point and then from watching the broadcast. So one minor knock there. The second minor knock isn't even a knock, really, because it would have been such a hard catch. But there was a throw on second or third and 15. I think second and 15 on the Bills' second drive of the game where Josh hit Keon down the sideline for what would have been a big gain. But Keon didn't bring it in because it was a little outside of his catch radius. Now, it's a catch that is made in the NFL, but it's still a really hard catch. So it would have been an exceptional catch if he was able to bring it in. But at the same time, him not making that play was not like, oh, that's on Keon. That was more of just like a really hard play, really small window. Just the timing was a bit off. Looked like he jumped a tad early. But other than that, I've loved Keon's last month, really. I mean, that starts in Houston. He has the big play in Houston that continued the last couple weeks with just continually seeing more production. And then obviously that trend continued today. So that's the wide receivers. The offensive line was exceptional today. They dominated this game. They gave Josh Allen time to throw. They protected him. They allowed plays to develop down the field. They created windows for the running backs. The offensive line, just as a whole, really good. Penalties were an issue, but penalties were an issue for the entire team and both teams that were on the field. So I don't know how much I want to read into that. There were three penalties on offensive linemen in the first drive of the game. I think there were five by the time they were off the field for their second offensive drive of the game. So that stuff needs to clean up. But I think overall they were great. And then the running backs. I mean, James Cook goes over 100 yards again. He has, you know, a couple catches in the passing game. Just elite level production from James Cook as he is continuing to develop into one of the premier backs in the NFL. I think it's a lot of the system. I think he's a heck of a player, right? I think he's really, really good. He's slippery. He's able to turn plays that look like 2 or 3 yards into 5 or 6 yards because of just his deceptive speed. I also think Aaron Cromer's doing a great job with the offensive line, and they're giving him windows that, you know, he's able to attack. And I feel the same way about Ray Davis. That's not a knock on either of them. It's just like, I think it's the perfect storm. You've got Josh Allen at quarterback, so obviously he's garnering a lot of attention. You've got an offensive line that I think is playing really well. And then you've got these two running backs, Ty Johnson included, so three running backs who are productive when they are asked to make plays. So overall, I think offensively it was a good day. Saw some plays from Dawson Knox. That was a good sign. Dalton Kincaid had some plays. That was a nice sign. National Tight Ends Day. I liked his touchdown. That was a big moment in the game. right? It was 7-3 at that point. That made it 14-3 going into the halftime. I think the game feels different at 14-3 than it would have felt at 10-3 if the Bills had to settle for a field goal there. So I think that that was a really good, you know, play from him, finding, you know, the soft spot and then kind of reading Josh Allen as he's manipulating the pocket and then changing things up on the fly, those two connecting. That's a good sign moving forward. So offensively, a lot to like. Really strong day for them on that side of the ball. It is funny, though, right? We talked about how the offense needed to start faster and they needed to do more against the Titans, and then they scored 34 points against the Titans, which is a better defense than the Seahawks, and this game just felt completely different because the Bills never really dug themselves into a hole. They took the lead on their first offensive drive of the game, and then they never looked back after that. Defensively, more things to like. When you win 31-10, that's probably not a surprise. Thought the defensive line looked good. There were flashes. Think that Greg Rousseau had a strong start to the game and was doing a lot that was probably helping others get home or create havoc. So I liked his day. Continue to be impressed by the corners. Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford are just rock solid players. They're really, really good. Other than that, though, it was a kind of, it feels like it was a defensive day that was the sum is greater than the parts, that they all just kind of had a very efficient day. They did a good job stopping Kenneth Walker, and I think that that kind of led to a lot of the success that they had. I was dumbfounded with how little the Seahawks were using Kenneth Walker. I know the game script kind of set up for them poorly, that they weren't able to kind of utilize him in the way that I'm sure they would have wanted to. But I mean, like, think about this. Kenneth Walker had 9 carries for 12 yards. I thought going into this game, the Seahawks' best way to win was to control the line of scrimmage and to run Kenneth Walker into the ground. And he averaged 1.3 yards per carry. I don't know why he was utilized so little. That doesn't make any sense to me. Obviously, the Seahawks were without DK Metcalf. That was a big blow for them. But I don't know if DK Metcalf is a 21-point difference in this game. He's a really good player. I know that that makes everybody else on their offense better. But, you know, the Bills did a good job. It's funny because I've got the box score here in front of me. In JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, who I think is a good player, he finished with 7 targets, 6 catches for 69 yards. It's, like, actually a pretty nice day. Now, I'm interested because I don't have it in front of me right now how much of that came after the Bills took the 31-3 lead. But, you know, you look at that and you're like, okay, that would be a good day if you knew beforehand that was going to be what the production looks like. This is another one. Tyler Lockett, 1 catch, 9 yards. The Bills did a really good job locking down their top 2 targets. I mean, really, everybody. Geno Smith actually had a decently efficient game. He was 21-29 for 212 yards. When I say decently efficient, I mean decently efficient as like a box score. There was the interception to Austin Johnson. Big man interception, his first of his career, which is really, really cool. I'm not blaming the snap on him. That snap was really high. That snap like went up and hit like the Space Needle. That's how high it was. Hard to blame him on the 4th and goal from the 2 where he slipped. I don't know if that's a him thing, if he just lost his footing. I don't know if he got stepped on. I didn't have a great vantage point up in the replay, up in the press box. But yeah, defensively, I mean, Taron Johnson led the way with 8 tackles. That doesn't surprise me. Rasul Douglas had 6. Thought Rasul Douglas had a really nice open field tackle on Walker early in the game that kind of set the tone, because if he did not get to Kenneth Walker, that could have very well turned into a big gain. But he made an open field tackle that I was impressed with. Taylor Rapp, a little bit of a homecoming from him. He comes back. He has 5. Greg Rousseau had 4. Dorian Williams, I thought, over-pursued on a couple plays in this game. But at the same time, like, that just happens. Other time, you know, sometimes the offense just makes good plays. So I don't think that was completely all in him. That's just kind of what I'm looking at. I don't remember much else from the defense. Like, it was just one of those days where they looked good. They had everything kind of in control. They bent, but they did not break, especially in the red zone, and I think that they had a good day. As far as Tyler Bass is concerned, because that's always something we seem to talk about, made all of his extra points and then made one field goal. The field goal was from 27 yards. So he did everything that he was supposed to do, and that is just very status quo. Coaching things that we can talk about. Thought the Bills did a pretty good job with their game plan going into this game. I liked a lot of the things that they did. Having the, you know, success that they did on the ground, I think, opened a lot up in the passing game for them. They were great on third down. They were 8 of 15, but that actually is a worse number than what it truly was, because at the end of the game, you know, Josh was not in there, and they were just trying to bleed the clock. So they were good there. There's one decision for McDermott that I didn't like that came back to bite them a little bit. There was a penalty. It was first and 10 at the 9. The Bills stopped. It was an incomplete pass. The Bills stopped the Seahawks. It would have been second and 10, but there was some penalty that the Bills could elect to accept, and it made it second and, or first and 14 instead of second and 10, and then the Seahawks were able to get the first down a couple plays later. That just felt like something they shouldn't be doing. I don't know. I just, second and 10 at the 9 feels like a pretty solid spot to be in there. But, like, that's a very minor thing. I'm having a hard time finding things to be critical of the Bills about today, because they were good. They were the better team. They came into Seattle and they punched them in the mouth. And maybe this says more about Seattle than it does about the Bills. Maybe they're just not that good. But it is truly, I know people roll their eyes when they're like, oh, it's a hard place to play. Like, it's a tough division. They have clearly had some success this year, right? Like, let's look at their schedule by the team and see, because I don't remember it exactly from just going through. They beat the, oh yeah, they started with their three wins, beat the Broncos, beat the Patriots, beat the Dolphins. Lost to the Lions, lost to the Giants, lost to the 49ers, beat the Falcons, might be pretty good, and then lost to the Bills. So it's been a weird year for the Seahawks overall, but I think that they're still a decent team. As for the Bills, they got a lot of good things, a lot of help around the NFL on Sunday, especially in the division. Dolphins lose on a last-second field goal to the Cardinals. Cardinals improved to 4-4. I've been joking with people that cover the team that they are my Arizona Cardinals, and the only reason I'm saying that is because I said at the beginning of the year that I think the Cardinals are going to be a sneaky good team and that people are sleeping on them, and that when the Bills season is done, people will look back on their Cardinals game very differently than they did after week one, because I think the Cardinals are a pretty good team. So they win today. They beat the Dolphins, and then the Jets. 2-6. The Jets are 2-6. That is absurd. They just traded a conditional second-round pick for Davante Adams. No idea what's going to happen there. The other thing about the Jets that's interesting, and the Dolphins for that matter, they still have to play each other twice. So you have a 2-5 team and a 2-6 team. Like, if they split, conceivably, they could both still, if they go on some ridiculous heater, be contending for a playoff spot. I think it's definitely more likely with Miami, because things are not getting much easier for the Jets. The Jets next play the Texans, then the Cardinals, who I just said I think are pretty good, the Colts, who are an enigma, they're a weird team, then they end, pretty tough stretch, Seahawks, Dolphins, Jags, Rams, Bills, Dolphins. It's a tough way to end the year. As far as the Dolphins are concerned, they now go on a stretch at the Bills, at the Rams, and they're sitting at 2-5. So obviously, the Tua injury impacted their season a lot. They were much more efficient today with Tua at the helm, but still, they're in a big hole. They have to beat the Bills this upcoming week. They absolutely have to. If they don't, I think we might be too far gone. Let's see. Oh, did you see the comment from Geno Smith about how loud Bills fans were? Shout out. There were a lot of Bills fans at this game. I spent a lot of time in the city on Friday and Saturday. Bills fans everywhere. Now, I'm a tourist, so I'm going to tourist parts of the city, but Bills Mafia, excuse me, very well represented. To answer some of your questions on social media before we call this a day. Sorry, I need some water. Eric says, what position group addition puts them over the top? Still think they need help at safety. Still think that that would be my top of the list. Maybe my Micah Hyde bit could play itself out here, but I just think they could do something to improve there. I think that they could get a rotational pass rusher. That wouldn't be a bad idea. I would still be game for them getting another receiver. I don't think that's going to happen at all. So we shall see. I think they'll do something, but I don't think it'll be like the level of the Amari Cooper trade was. And that brings us to a lot of people asking about Amari Cooper in this game specifically. He didn't really have to do much, right? Like, he had, let me see how many targets he had. It might have only been two. Let's see. Two targets, one catch, 3 yards. I just think it was a weird game, and I think that the Bills were in control. They weren't stretching the field a ton on the perimeter, and there were other guys having success. So I just don't think he factored into the game plan maybe as much as we originally anticipated. Also think that he is just, you know, going to take a little bit of time. Really good start last week. I think that we will continue. I also think that him being on the field is having a very positive impact on the other things that they're able to do. Like, I know in the last game they played, Keon Coleman's catches did not happen when Amari Cooper was on the field, but I think in this game, we'll have to look at it more on the film tomorrow on Monday, but I think he was opening things up for Khalil Shakir especially, and then also the tight ends at times. So that was a good sign. Brian asked, what was your favorite part of your trip to the Seattle area? I would say hiking at Mount Rainier was exceptionally cool. Shout out to Pat Mojinahan. Maybe I said that wrong. I don't know. But he sent me some recommendations on all trails and some really great Seattle recommendations. So shout out Pat, somebody who is from Buffalo who now lives in Seattle. So he hooked it up there. Somebody asked me what the best thing I ate in Seattle was. A recommendation from Pat. It was called Maas Cafe. M-A-S, and the breakfast burrito was one of the best things I have had in the year 2024, so that was very impressive. Any other questions? What if Keon Coleman is really good? I think he's good. I think he's going to be a good player. I think Keon Coleman's skill set is really nice as a complementary piece. I think he can make plays in this league. I think the best case scenario, this is somebody who I've talked about with Joe Biscaglia from The Athletic. It's like, what if he could be T. Higgins? Nothing wrong with that at all. Like, that is a really nice piece and a really good player. So I still think no matter what happens really for the rest of this year, the Bills are in the wide receiver hunt and the draft and free agency, whatever it is. But I think Keon Coleman might be really good. Some other questions, but I think we're going to call it, probably just because I really need water and you just heard the announcements going over. So the Bills win 31-10. They improve to 6-2. We'll get you a new podcast sometime this week. But for now, thanks for listening, for watching, and have a great week, everyone.